Hello and welcome to Shades and Layers. I'm your host, Kutlwano Skhosana Richie. Let me start off by wishing you a wonderful year ahead, and I hope 2024 is going well for you so far. This year has started well at Shades and Layers, and you can find out all about the behind-the-scenes action via Instagram and our companion newsletter. Yes, there is a newsletter for the podcast, and you can find out how to subscribe in the show notes or via our Instagram page. For now, we kick off Season 8, and this is the first episode with my guest, Dr. Margaret Towolawi, a double-board-certified medical doctor turned entrepreneur, who is based out of Seattle in Washington State. Dr. Towolawi is the founder of Nurture Well Center, and she has an associated med spa called SkinStat MD. She is also a published author and speaker who leads workshops for children, teens, adults who need tools to take charge of their health. In addition to all of that, she has her own inclusive skincare range, and we talk about that during the interview. Dr. Towolawi's story to me demonstrates that there are ways to be a medical doctor or medical practitioner outside of the traditional structures such as public health, and you'll learn about the direct primary care business model that has made this path possible for her. And if you need some inspiration to stay on track with your New Year health goals, then there's a lot of inspiration here. So without further ado, here is Dr. Towolawi telling her own story.
I am Dr. Margaret Towolawi, and you know, I wear a lot of different hats for sure. I am a board certified family physician, so often thought of as a general practitioner, but I'm also a board certified lifestyle medicine physician. A lot of people don't know what that is, so I always love to educate people around that. Yes. It's pretty much a provider who looks at six main pillars. So nutrition, predominantly plant-based nutrition, getting enough movement, managing your stressors, getting enough sleep, having healthy social connections, so healthy relationships with others, and then minimizing substance use like alcohol, tobacco, and drugs as a way to approach health. Mm-hmm. So the thought is if you employ these lifestyle medicine changes, the patient can take more ownership of their health in order to prevent disease, reverse disease, and treat disease. So that's that background, right? So there's the medical piece where I see patients in my practice. Then I have a separate business that's still attached in a way called SkinStat MD. SkinStat MD, where I focus on skin of color from a holistic dermatology standpoint. So I always ask my patients who come in to see me, you know, if they're coming in for acne or eczema or hair loss or what have you, I'm asking them about their sleep and their stress. So that's where my lifestyle medicine holistic care comes in, right? And through that business, I've launched my skincare line where I have, gosh, over 20-something different products to treat anything from hair loss to acne-related pigmentation and scarring and eczema, all the things, right? Yeah. So, and then the newest venture related to that business has been my supplement line, which I'm excited to
I saw that.
And last but not least, I'm an author, kids book author to come out and start, but then I will be hopefully venturing into some non-kids book related works. So in the future, so we'll see.
Great, that's kind of
a good place to start.
I think maybe let's get into, you know, the deeper meaning you attach to all these activities that you do.
Sure. So I think that's really important because I think if you're looking from the outside, people think, oh, she has a lot of things. But I remind people that it's all connected. My main goal, Kutlano, is to help people, especially women, especially Black women, feel good on the inside and outside, right? Mm-hmm. I want people to not just be put together and live put together, but also feel that way. So that's why nutrition and movement and getting enough sleep is so important to my mission. So all about feeling good in on the inside and outside. So I give people tools to feel good on the inside and tools to feel good on the outside, right? Your skincare, because that's a form of self-care, right? And hair care and all those things.
Yes.
So it's all tied in. That's the big mission. I want people to feel good about who they are in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And how did you embark on this journey?
That's a big question. So I'll be honest, I did not set out when I started to go to medical school and thought about myself as a future doctor to have my own business. That's something I never really thought about. But I'll be honest, I think the pandemic really had people think about what they really wanted out of this life, you know, and how to prioritize. And I was working for an organization that I thought I was going to retire at, to be honest with you, the medical system in the Seattle area. And then the pandemic just, I think being Black people and predominantly white spaces, some things kind of, the ties changed for us when we were at a point, I'll speak about myself. I was at a point where I was like, I don't have to put up with this, you know? Mm-hmm. So what can I do to kind of carve my own space? So then I learned about the type of practice that I have now, the Nurture Well Center practice that I have in my primary care practice. It's a membership-based practice. I learned about that type of practice, and it would allow doctors to have more ownership of their time. In a traditional healthcare system, it's go, 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 patients every 15 minutes. I know I needed a setting where I could really slow down and promote patient education and promote healthy eating. So the type of practice I do now, my patients need me for 60 minutes. Okay, I can shop with them at the grocery store.
Yay.
I can walk with them, and I still do general primary care within this model. So it's been really nice. But to answer your question, it was really much, pretty much the pandemic that made me realize, I think enough is enough. I need a healthier work environment for me. And I decided to create that environment for myself by going into business, honestly. Has it been easy? No, but I'm doing it, and I'm really proud of the work that I'm doing.
So, yeah. And, yeah. You know, you say you're with your patient for 60 minutes, and I'm thinking, wow, that sounds like a luxury. But surely this yes. should be a standard, right? Your doctor needs yes. to get to know you.
Yes.
Yeah. So did you find that a lot of your colleagues also went solo?
Still the norm to work for a big organization. However, we're seeing more women, especially more women of color, going into these type of solo membership-based models. I think that speaks to the fact that a lot of us don't feel heard in our bigger systems. Mm-hmm. You know, I can think of at least 3 or 4 women that I know personally who are in private practice in the Seattle area who are all having to be Black women and just trying to carve out their own lane, you know, and make sure their voice is heard. So they got to create the space, create their table, and bring others. So, there was a wave, I think, in the 90s before I was in medical school where people were, you know, private practice was kind of starting to be less of a thing. And now it's ticking back up, I think, as people are frustrated and want other types of models up here. So. Mm. Yeah.
So how are these independent practices being received in the medical fraternity? You know, can you? Yes. You so, know, how does it affect the business and, you know, your practice? Yeah.
So as far as the general public, the patients who are invested in these practices, they love it. I mean, my patients are very happy to have this type of care. I think as far as the insurance-based models, I think we're kind of like that distant cousin that you see around the holidays and you like, you don't know if you really like them, but you have to deal with them because they exist and you do, you know. So it's still the norm to deal with insurance. I'll be honest, because my membership does not deal with insurance, but I think we're, as more of us expand, especially in the Seattle area, we are going to have to be respected because we're here, right?
But
patients, people who are consumers, so our patients are loving it. And that's to me the most important thing. Mm. Yeah.
So do people pay you directly out of pocket?
That's a great question. And it's called direct primary care. And it's literally, I love it because it means what it says, right? Like, so patients pay you directly. So patients pay a direct membership fee that's agreed upon by the doctor. So every doctor has their own set fee for the services. There's no hidden fees. And for that set fee, you get exclusive access to your provider. So my patients literally can message me directly. You know, when I work for someone, a big system, I never talk to my patients directly. Went to the front staff and the back office staff and all the things, right? And people can see me and get priority access, and there's no waiting for 3 months or 2 months and all that jazz. So,
right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned that it's a membership. So this is like recurring fees.
So a monthly fee, no co-pays, and that fee includes unlimited number of visits, access to me by phone, virtual, secure texting. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. I like that. You know, I always feel like when I go to the doctor, this person is meeting me for the first time, because the last time they saw me for 15 minutes and sometimes the recommendations, I mean, even the, you know, most basic of knowledge will tell you that, no, you should not be prescribing that. You know, it's just it just feels like a gamble, like, whew, I don't know what I'm going to find this time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what's been the most surprising thing, or should I say the most exciting thing for you about being an entrepreneur?
You know, how much I don't know. the constant learning, right? Because I'll be honest with you, I feel like the medical system is designed on purpose to have doctors work with someone else. Obviously, I haven't had any business training. You know, I'm literally learning new things about business every day. And you have to be humbled and learn and realize, you know, yes, I'm very smart, but I've been doing medicine only for 20 something years now at this point. So there's things about business. Like doctors, there's this like joke amongst doctors that we're not very good business people. You know, we don't like talk about money and things like that. So, but at the end of the day, like the buck stops with me. I have a team of people that I have to pay. I have to keep my doors open. So flexing my business muscle has been the thing that I'm excited about, because I used to be so sheepish about talking about money, but I can't be sheepish and talk about money when you have a business. So, getting comfortable around there and knowing that it's okay to make sure that people understand the value that I bring and make sure I charge the right value at the same time, right? So,
Yeah. And speaking of money, are you self-funded? Did you apply for a round of funding? How did it work for you?
I am self-funded. So we have credit cards for a reason. But charge to the card and make sure I'm paying it off slowly, you know, other things. But in all seriousness, I don't have any special backing. This is me. This is truly a labor of love. This is an investment, a financial investment that thankfully my husband was, you know, in support of, but it's definitely, you know, I work a lot and I'm doing my best to keep everything going. And so far, so good. But it's been really, really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of investing, I mean, this is also an investment in yourself, of course. But we know entrepreneurship is notorious for long hours and, you know, working above and beyond. So how does that match up to the type of hours you were doing as a practitioner in the medical system?
That's a great question. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about my sister was asking my husband a couple months ago, do you feel like, you know, Margaret is working more or less? And it was kind of funny. I probably feel like I work more, but it's not draining because I am my business, if that makes sense. And I'm just not a medical doctor. Like I was telling you, I got skincare, I got supplements, I got books, I do speaking gigs, right? So, and I'm always ideating, right? I'm always, this brain never really turns off, it seems. So in some ways the hours are longer because I am the business.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But I am really intentional about taking time off. So like my patients know every winter break, I close the office to match my kids' school being closed, right? And then the holidays, I make sure I take time off. The nice thing is I set my own schedule so I can be as busy or as not busy as I want to be. But because I think I have these other non-clinical ventures that I do that keeps me busier, but they're all things that I want to do.
Right.
They're all things that I produced and I'm really proud about. So I'd be lying if I didn't say that I worked a lot. but I'm not, the work doesn't drain me. It only makes me more excited, especially when things are well received, when people are enjoying my products and getting results. People are, you know, my supplement line is not even 2 weeks old and I'm already like thinking about, okay, what stores can I get it in? Because I soft launched it and it was so well received by people who come to the office. So anyway. Yeah,
that's fantastic. That's exciting. So, you know, it makes a difference, you know, the environment in which you work and also the mindset with which you go into business. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that brings me to not everybody in the medical profession is going to be brave enough or have the opportunity to take the leap that you did. How would you advise that they navigate that space without, without burning out?
That's a really, really good question because most people will not take this leap. It's a very bold thing to do. It's a very, very expensive thing to do, and not everybody will do it. Very honest about saying if I was a solo person without a partner who had a job, I probably would not be able to do what I'm doing because it was it's the first year I didn't pay myself, I think it's okay to be honest about and say because you're putting so much into the business. But so if you do have to stay where you are, you got to make sure you got a therapist. I feel like everybody should have a therapist. You got to make sure you have your core people you can lean on and to, you know, really get a break from the work and make sure you're staying connected, right? So it's really the pillars I mentioned, lifestyle medicine, you know, get your social connection, make sure you're eating good food and not just, you know, comfort food all the time. Make sure you're moving your body, getting enough sleep, all the things you need to do to support a healthy body and healthy mind, right? But big thing, therapy, good friends.
Therapy, yes.
Therapy and good friends are the things I would say. Yeah.
Shades and Layers is a storytelling platform for Black and other women of color in business. Welcome to the next part of my conversation with Dr. Margaret Towolawi. She is the founder of Nurture Well Center, as well as the medical spa SkinStat MD, which has an associated skincare line. Up next in this part of our conversation, we talk about how she founded the skincare line, which magic ingredients she uses, which problems she was trying to solve, and how she went about getting the business going. Let's get into the products that your business sells. So it's skincare, there's topical care, there's also supplements. Yeah. So can you go into, you know, how you went about formulating those in the first place? Let's start there.
Great question. Oh my gosh. So it's funny. I'm a problem solver, right? And I was seeing patients for years and always advising certain brands. And then one day hit me, I should come out with my own products to fill these needs they have. Mm. So it all started with, I think my first product was the refresher spray. Either that or the oat butter. They came out the same time, it seems, but I'll start with the refresher spray, which I wish I had right next to me. So you, but anyway, it's over there. The refresher spray is a 3-in-1 product. So it's aloe vera based with glycerin. It's for the scalp, hair, and face. And I was seeing a lot of people who had scalp issues, something called seborrheic dermatitis. A lot of patients I was seeing would have this. It's pretty much overgrowth of the yeast on the scalp and can cause dry scalp. People put oil on it, which makes it worse. So I wanted something that would treat that issue that was not oil, because people would say, how am I going to moisturize my scalp, doctor? So the spritz for the scalp, but then it also works for the hair to keep it moisturized and can be used on the face with a hydrating facial spray.
Right.
So people would use hair products that would clog their pores and they get acne. So that was my first product. And then my oat butter. So that was a fun one. So that's for eczema patients or anyone with any type of dry skin. So even like, I don't have eczema, but if my hands are dry, I use my own oat butter. So the oat butter came when I was really wanting something for my eczema patients. So I did a lot of research on the use of colloidal oatmeal, dating back to the ancient Egyptian times. I read them in peer-reviewed journal articles in dermatology. And I was like, okay, if I have a product for eczema, it needs to have oatmeal. So I came up with an ingredient base. And then I worked with a woman local to Seattle to, you know, have her. I said, can you make this for me? Here's the formula. Sign this NDA. Make this product for me. You know? And then she did. And then that was really fire, because that's probably my best-selling product to this day. People just love that. And it's really cool to have patients leave reviews. I have eczema. This is the only thing that really works for my eczema. And anyway, but so to answer your question, I try to just meet issues that I see. So I have things for dark spots, pigmentation. I have my own shampoo for dandruff, right? I have people who want to use something for their curls that won't dry their hair out, but is also good for the environment. So I have a conditioner. I have serums. I have, I'm looking at everything over there. That's why I'm pausing. I have my own sunscreen now that that does not leave a white cast, right? And I want something that kids can use. So my first sunscreen I launched, it was a mixture of mineral based and chemical based. So I would tell people, if you're pregnant or nursing or have kids, I wouldn't use this. But it always sat wrong with me that I didn't have one that could be used for kids. So came out with one this summer that's been wildly well received, that goes on sheer on dark skin. So, but I have pretty much, I'm trying to be a one stop office for patients when it comes to caring for their skin. I got stuff for pretty much everyone, you know.
Wow. That's
tiptoeing into just tiptoeing into the men's line now, too. So I released a beard oil about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I love it. So much going on.
Yeah.
And you sell these online, or are you going to think of distributing via retail?
That's the hope. So currently it's online in my office, but I would love to get in a store, you know. And I always tell myself, big stores, that's great, that's nice, but I'd love to, you know, there's a lot of shops and stores in Seattle, small businesses. I would love that, you know.
And I about Seattle.
Yeah. So if you know anybody, I'm trying to, I would love to get my wellness products out, supplements and skincare in any boutique. So that's something 2024, I'd love to have a partnership. Right now, I'm working on things. Nothing has panned out 100% yet. So actively trying to make those connections.
Right.
But at first, I want to make sure that my fan base love the products. And they do. And then, I need to get, because I'm just one person. So if I can have other people who can support my products and sell them in their retail spaces, that would be a great goal.
Yeah. Great. So you also mentioned their workshops and, you know, keynotes. Yeah. So what do you do in that space?
Yeah. So the nice thing about being a general doctor with also this lifestyle medicine angle is that I can tailor the talk. So I do talks anywhere on lifestyle medicine and what that means and how to make changes in your life. That's one topic, right? Another topic is how to incorporate more plant-based diet into your lifestyle. It's another topic I've done. I've also done things on how to build a skincare regimen. And so it really varies, but they either tie to lifestyle medicine, plant-based nutrition, or skincare, kind of the big topics.
Yeah.
And I work with different organizations, whoever was willing to hire me and book me and all the things, right? Then I have my author talks related to my books, where I've gone into various schools. I actually have a school talk tomorrow, Seattle Public Schools tomorrow. So I go in and I read the books I have a whole curriculum and lead an activity, and I get paid for that as well. So yeah. Wellness talks and then my author talks are pretty much the big things.
Now. Nice, nice. Yeah. Tell me about your books. What are they called and who are they aimed at?
Right, right. My other book is, I really should keep it back here. You guys who are listening can't see what I'm pointing. I got two books, technically three, but it's really two. I'll explain what I mean. My first book I don't have in front of me. It's called Iomi the Ace Train Ride in Graceland. That book was my, I released that 2022, May 2022, mm-hmm. Iomi the Ace Train Ride in Graceland. That book is a labor of love. It's my very personal story. So I have two kids, but I actually gave birth to three kids. My oldest child, Grace, I had her when I was 5 months. I delivered her and everything, and then she passed away less than 2 hours later. And then my son, Iomide, who's my living oldest, is my rainbow baby. Yeah. Right? So I knew once I had my Iomide and his sister, Shay, later on, that I wanted to make sure that my family had a way to honor my oldest child, that she was never forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the world to know about her. So the book is the ideal consumer, I guess. I don't know. Reader, I should say. Reader is families that have had some type of loss. So stillbirth, early infant loss, miscarriage, and they go on to have their rainbow babies. So how can you find a way to have these discussions with your current living children about the sibling that they lost or that was before them? So that's really a labor of love. I think I realize, if I can be honest with you, Kulana, I have an author page where I talk about it, but I don't talk about it as much as my nutrition because it's so much easier to talk about the nutrition book.
Right.
The other book is about a child that passed away. But the whole subject is my son, Iomide, meets his sister in a place called Graceland in a dream. And it's a really, without giving away too much, it really helps honor the child you lost and tying in your current children. So that's the whole goal. But Iomide's train ride.
I love that.
That's the first thing. Yeah. And then my other book, Iomide and Shay's Kitchen, features my son and daughter. A kid's guide to plant-based nutrition from A to Z, all about trying to get kids to learn more about plant foods without it being preachy. I don't say go vegan or go vegetarian. I'm literally, it's an A to Z book where it rhymes and I go through, I start off really seemingly basic. A is for apple. And then by the time you're getting through, you're talking about C is for calcium.
Exactly.
You're talking about vitamin D. And then my kids are the narrators, which is cool, and it rhymes. So I wanted a bite-sized, pun intended, bite-sized approach to nutrition for kids because I also knew many parents would be reading the book. So it's educating the parents about some of these topics that they may not be aware of. And then the kids, you know, the whole goal is I create this core group of kids who are, you know, excited about nutrition and healthy foods who then become adults to make better choices. That's the whole background, right? Mm-hmm. Spend that, my physician background, my nutrition background, and my mom background to really bring that together. And my illustrator, shout out to Annabella Ortiz, who was amazing and did the illustrations. So,
yeah. But also, like the food references, they're not all Western.
Oh, that was very intentional, right? Like, so I'm born and raised in LA, but my family's Nigerian. My parents immigrated here. My husband was born and raised in Nigeria. So I got a nod to jollof, J's for jollof, right? And then we have South African shout out to the watermelon shigwa. And then we have ube, which I believe is Filipino. Yeah. And then habanero. So I tried to make it so people could recognize some foods. From
There was a purple yam somewhere.
Yeah, that's the ube.
The ube. Okay, right.
Yeah. So.
Love it. No, I like how, you know, inclusive it is and also how broad it is, you know.
It's an eye-opener.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And it's also available in a bilingual version currently. So Spanish, English. So I have the English text with the Spanish underneath it. That's another version as well. So
Lovely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got picky eaters in our house. So this will be a very helpful
Well, I tell people it's nice. I've had some people write reviews that their kids are super picky, but they would take the book and go to the grocery store and try to pick a food that they didn't have before from the book. So I have a whole thing in the back of the book where I'd say, do you enjoy the book? Take it to the grocery store and try out a new food and see what you can identify from the book, right? So, yeah, it's been cool to see people.
That's fun.
Hear people receive it.
Yeah, that's great fun. And you said you have another one?
So technically the bilingual Spanish book is
right.
Yeah, it's a separate book, but it's the same book, right? So that's what I was trying to say. But anyway,
Great. Why was it important to you to, you know, write a book?
Yeah, so I was mentioning how as a doctor, mom, and physician, so I kind of know firsthand the importance of healthy eating. But then as a physician who sees a lot of adults with chronic diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, prediabetes, obesity, a lot of patients I see don't know what foods to eat, don't know, you know, they can't tell the difference between what's considered a good healthy protein or fiber and all the things. So I want to create a generation of kids who have the tools, right? So I could really have more adults who grew up to don't have to grow up to not have these chronic diseases, because food is medicine. It really is. You can make the food choices as a body of people. It could really change how the chronic disease trend in America looks. That's my whole thing. So
Dr. Margaret Toalawi is my guest on this episode of Shades and Layers. Coming up, we get into her personal story and the Shades and Layers rapid fire. But first, we find out about what has helped her keep things together in her business, as well as the people who have been supportive during her entrepreneurial journey.
Honestly, I have a great manager, and we just ran our meeting right in front of everything. We have a running list of things that we're checking off. We're in constant communication. So for me, most people would say, oh, they have some software. I'm not very techie. I'm okay to admit that. I need to get better in 2024. That's one of my goals. But I'm a real people person. Mm-hmm. We need to talk. And so communicating with my team, helping them hold me accountable. I was just telling my manager, I said, the only thing that I can do that you can't do is see patients, because I'm the medical doctor.
Right.
So I delegate. So I'm just really delegating as much as I can and being open to team input. I think people think when you run a business, yes, you have the final say because it's your business, right? Whatever, but being open to fresh ideas, right? So that's how I stay productive in that way. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned, of course, a manager and a team around you, but what about mentors? Who are some of the people who inspire you or have been instrumental in your path to where you are?
A lot of my mentors come from fellow businesswomen that inspire me. A lot of my one particular close friend is a business person, and we are always getting together. She was very beneficial for me to even know that I could do this, right? Mm-hmm. When I would call her frustrated with where I was at in my old job, and she was like, I think I want to do this. You can do it. She actually helped me find the space that I'm sitting in now, my office, right? So I think having a mm-hmm. core group of friends is important. And when you have friends who are also in business, because businesswoman, being a businesswoman, kids and Black businesswoman, it's a whole different level, right? So having those core people, I have a nice clique of having to be, Black businesswomen that I can lean on and can are you experiencing this? Is this something that you see? Or mm-hmm. especially for me coming out the gate when I was just getting started and trying to make my mark, I felt like I was on my phone a lot trying to market. And then I would say to my friend, am I a bad mom? And all the things, I was crying. She's like, you're not a bad mom. And then, she's been in business way longer. And so, some days you gotta just bring your kids, make it work, Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. before I think I thought that was unprofessional, but in my office, I have a huge office. I have a whole room where my kids can hang snacks, TV, all the things, right? Some days you just gotta bring them in and make it work. So she really taught me that. But
I love that. Yeah. Including your children in your activities. Yeah. That's really powerful. And, so you have these mentors. So you mentioned Nigerian immigrant parents. Mm-hmm. Any other events or people in your life who you think, you look back and you think, yeah, okay, that makes sense where I've ended up today. Are there any things that's there?
are you implying, Kutlana, that my Nigerian immigrant parents maybe be...
I'm just thinking out loud here.
No, I love that. I'm so sorry. The question was, are people from the past that kind of influence?
Yeah, that kind of influence, the trajectory of your life or, events they may have been at school or, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be honest. I was not one of those kids that was like, I'm going to be a doctor. The very first job that I can remember saying, I was about 7 years old, was I want to be a writer. So it's really amazing for me to come back here, right?
Okay,
but I remember saying I was about seven. I would always draw stories, write stories, and draw pictures with the stories. And I remember the very first book that I can remember writing was a book called The Apple Family. And it was a family of apples and they went on adventures. Anyway, but I remember saying to my mom, I want to be a writer. She looked at me, and my mom's amazing. But I don't even know if she remembers this, but she looked at me and she said, oh, you can't do that. You won't make any money. And I was like, I didn't really know what that meant, but I was like, oh, So, but I always knew growing up that I liked trying to figure things out. I liked people, but I didn't really know. So I went off to college, not really knowing what I was going to do at the time. My parents had sent us to various kind of programs throughout our teens at USC and UCLA. And they were engineer related or health related. I have two sisters. One was like, I'm going to be a doctor. She's a doctor. One's like, I'm going to be a dentist. She's a dentist. But I wanted to do my own thing. I think that's how it's always been. So I go to college and I'm like studying engineering, but I'm not really like my heart's not in it, you know, and kind of going through the motions. But I get sick a summer going to my sophomore year. They still to this day don't know what happened, but I had a blood clot in my spleen. So I was very intimate with the healthcare system for about, I think I was in the hospital for 9-10 days straight. Okay.
Whoa,
and I realized, yeah, I don't know much about the human body. You know, I just and I realized I also don't like knowing things when they involve me. And then I started to get this like curiosity around healthcare, but I was too shy to admit that because I was like, oh, you know. And anyway, I thought about public health, but then the doctor thing was quietly in my brain. So one day I talked to my older sister and I said, I'm thinking about it. She's like, oh my gosh, you should totally go for it. Anyway, so that was kind of my career trajectory to thinking about becoming a doctor. And then I, funny enough, there was a summer program at the University of Washington, because I'm from California, where you could come and be paired with a mentor in the community. I got paired with Dr. Benjamin Donaldson, who was a powerhouse in the community, pediatrician. And it was everything I needed, all the signs. And I actually prayed that summer, God, give me a sign if I should be a doctor or be a teacher, mm-hmm, right? And mm-hmm. I already had a job lined up after college, AmeriCorps in San Francisco, to teach at a school, but I was still, I did this pre-med summer program at UW, got paired with Dr. House's office, and Odessa Brown, she was being like, and the staff, women of color, people of color, the artwork, it was just so inspiring because I thought being a doctor meant, you know, cookie cutter, kind of white, predominantly male settings. And it was just nice to be in that type of work environment. I will never forget how that was an eye-opening event for me, experience mm-hmm, for me, really. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I was like, I think I'm going to do this medicine thing. And Seattle, it was summertime. Gorgeous. I'm going to go to Seattle. So
Seattle in the summer can fool you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people were like, you know, it's not like this all year. I said, I don't care. You know? But that was 2004. I got in and I started med school 2006 and I've been here since. But anyway, so those were pivotal moments. Getting sick in the hospital, learning that I didn't know a lot about the body, being intrigued. Being inspired by my mentorship opportunity through that summer program that continued to get mentorship from Dr. Donaldson throughout my medical school career. And then anyway, that's kind of how I led to career medicine. Yeah. But I've always been very curious about people and relationships and how, you know, that works. And I've always been really into, like, so when I was 15 years old, you know, I started to learn about plant-based eating, which is very, at the time, this is the late 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Like my African parents were like, well, you don't want to eat meat? Okay, that's weird, whatever, you know? So I've always been curious about bodies and food and nutrition and food that makes you feel good. So, and I've been plant-based for 25 plus years now. So anyway, but that's, everything's kind of coming back. Things from my past are all making sense now, right? So the writer piece, the healthcare exposure now, doing the kind of work that I do where I motivate people to eat better and just kind of take ownership of their health, right? Because it really led to me being sick in the hospital bed at 19 and not knowing what was going on and feeling helpless. And here I was, seemingly, I thought I was pretty smart at Stanford, right? And I felt like clueless, right? So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, interesting. It's nice when you start to connect the dots. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Speaking of connecting the dots, it's now time to get into the rapid fire.
Okay.
First thing that comes to mind, So you're a writer. If you had to write a memoir, what would you call it and why?
Okay, here we go. You think you know, but you have no idea. A story of love, loss, faith, and grit. And the why, you said, and why, is that what you asked me? I think it's looking at where people, a lot of people may think that, oh, she has it all together, or she, you know, I like to dress up, I like to look cute. I like to, you know, I can work a room, but I'm also very introspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to actually prefer to be by people that they may think one thing about me, but they really have no idea unless you get to know me. I have a lot of great friends, but I also have my what I call my inner circle, right? Who know me, right? And then I'm a woman of faith. I would not be where I was without God, because things that have happened to me, you would not know. You would not know, because you just wouldn't know. Then grit, because I get down, but I get back up, right? So I got that grit in me. I'm from LA, but if I want to be true, I'm from Inglewood, you know, born and raised inner city girl, got a little bit of grit, a little bit of edge to you that you might not think is there, right? And then loss, you know, I mentioned I lost a child, right? So, the child, but then other things that aren't necessarily like loss of a person, but I had other losses in life, but I still keep going. Love, all we need is love at the end of the day, right? And I try to put more love in the world because I think we're all lacking that. I need a little more love. So, yeah, that's where it all comes from.
awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will make a beautiful story. Can't wait.
Yeah.
So if you had to turn that book into a movie, who would you choose to be the lead actress?
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's a good question. I can't start it. No, I'm just kidding.
Of course you can.
That is a good question. I'm trying to think of somebody who looks like me, but I was like, no, there's nothing. They have to look like you. You got me there. Okay. The person that keeps coming to mind, I don't even know why she comes to mind, but the first thing. Kerry Washington keeps coming.
Yes.
Kerry Washington comes. So I guess I got to go with that. And I'm not even a big, like, oh, Kerry Washington fan. You know, I'm like, I don't even know why I said that, but that's what came to mind. So we're going to go with that.
Okay. Kerry Washington. Yeah. Powerhouse. Sure. Yes. Brilliant.
Yes.
And apart from her, which famous Black woman, living or dead, would you invite to dinner?
That's a great one. I can only pick one.
I feel like it always changes.
Okay. So the first person that comes to mind, I don't really know much about this person. I know what she does, but I don't know much about her inside of like what I know about the base, the little I know. So Caroline Wanga, she's the head of Essence, the CEO of Essence. Hopefully I don't get that wrong, but she works for Essence. She's a big powerhouse there. Whenever I see her speak, whenever I hear her, then, you know, I just like, wow. I just like, wow. She's always dropping such gems, and the fashion is fashioning. I'm a fashion girl.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I know from your feed. I know.
Yeah. She shows up bright, bold, unapologetically herself in black. And I just love that. And I just want to just talk to her and get to know her and know her backstory. Because there's always a backstory.
There's always a backstory.
Also ask her, can I shop in your closet, honey? Can I shop in your closet? And then the second person I'm going to sneak in there is going to be Tabitha Brown. But I feel like she's also somebody who has a great backstory. It's nice you can go have dinner with somebody. You can both enjoy vegan food, right?
Exactly.
She's a woman of faith. She has a good heart.
Oh, speaking of being a vegan, being African and vegan, you said your parents couldn't understand it, but, you know, do you have a tough time in general, or have your family accepted? Or?
Oh, absolutely not. Not anymore, because, this is 25 plus years ago where it was not as common. Mm-hmm. Now it's so much. Mm-hmm. Like, we went to Gold Coast Gal Kitchen. Shout out to Tina if she ever hears this. Ghanaian librarian restaurants just opened 2 weeks ago in Seattle, and I had my red, which I had when I was in Ghana. It's a vegan dish by nature, so it's not even that hard anymore. And a lot of our dishes, like, you can make the stews without meat, you know, so not hard at all. Yeah, and I think my dad currently is pretty much plant-based, so, and my siblings have had, obviously one of my siblings has had time that she's been plant-based, so yeah, not hard at all.
And before I let you go, I'm sure people are now curious. They want to work with you. They want to find out what you do. Where can they find you?
Sure. So on the Instagram, I have 3 pages. It's silly, I know, but it's just the truth for the different businesses. So for my skin and kind of my personality, Skin Stats. So it's SKIN, S, G as in Tom, A, G as in Tom, M like Margaret, D. So Skin Stat MD. That's the Instagram. One of them. And then for my books, author Margaret Toalawi. And then my primary care is Nurture Well Center. And the Facebooks match that as well. So, yeah. If you want to get to me easily, I have various websites for the businesses. But the big one is me as a brand. That's MargaretToalawiMD.com. MargaretToalawiMD.com. That'll get you to all the other pages, too.
Perfect. And I'll have that linked in the show notes. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. If there's anything else you'd like to add, this is your chance.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to just really be a part of this community. And check me out. If you are hearing this and you're interested in connecting and networking with me, please reach out. I'd love to network with other entrepreneurs. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And that is all for the first episode of Season 8. Thank you for listening. Please find the links to Dr. Toalawi's social media and website in the show notes. Also, remember to share this episode with a friend so that we can grow and spread the love. I'm Kutwana Skosana Richie, and until next time, please do take good care.